This morning we're going to do something a little bit different in our message time. I'm going to enlist some help for the message today. And in some ways you could call this message the tale of two music videos. I'm going to enlist the help of a couple of folks you've probably heard of. One guy's name is Eric Clapton, and the other is a singer-songwriter named Amy Grant. Both of them wrote songs a while back called My Father's Eyes. And I want us to look. We're going to first look at Mr. Clapton's song. And I would encourage you, just enjoy it. Hopefully you can. Eric Clapton is an amazing artist. And I want you to listen to the song. Listen carefully to the words. And then in between the two videos, I'll make a few comments. We'll read 1 John. And then we'll close our time by listening to Amy Grant. So first, let's pray, and then let's listen to Eric Clapton. Lord, we pray that you would help us to hear your word for us today. Lord, that we would know you in the things that you communicate about yourself and about us to us. Lord, that your word would come alive for us in ways that are very real. And Lord, that we would continue to grow as your children. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
My father's eyes.
Two eyes.
let me give you the backstory to that song, at least a little bit of it. I'm just going to read to you from an article by a fellow named Michael Woloschuk, writing for the Ottawa Citizen newspaper a while back. In his new hit song, My Father's Eyes, British rock superstar Eric Clapton sings soulfully about the father he never knew. How did I get here? When will all my hopes arrive? He answers four times in a poignant refrain, when I look in my father's eyes. The only son of a brief encounter between a 16-year-old named Patricia Clapton and a 24-year-old Canadian soldier stationed in England during the Second World War, Eric Clapton was raised by his grandparents in Ripley, a village outside London. Until he was 9 years old, the young Clapton was led to believe that his grandparents who raised him were in fact his parents. He was also told that his mother was his older sister. When he discovered the truth about his parents, the young boy became withdrawn and turned to the guitar as an outlet for his confused emotions. At an early age, Mr. Clapton developed an affinity for the bittersweet sounds of the Mississippi Delta blues. By the time he joined his third rock group, John Mayall's Blues Breakers, in 1965, Mr. Clapton had already achieved legendary status as a guitar player. When he was barely 20 years old, fans scrawled the words, "Clapton is God," on subway stations in London. "I never met my father," Mr. Clapton told his biographer in 1985, "and I realized that the closest I ever came to looking into my father's eyes was when I looked into my son's eyes." Mr. Clapton's 5-year-old son, Connor, plummeted to his death in 1991 from the 53rd floor of the New York City apartment of his mother, Italian model Lori Del Santo. Missing the father he never knew, Connor's death pushed Mr. Clapton into depression. From it emerged Tears in Heaven, Mr. Clapton's most successful song. Let me make three observations for our purposes here today about My Father's Eyes by Eric Clapton. First, the sad realities of this life, broken people in a fallen world, trying to make sense of things and longing for real health and wholeness, make for beautiful expression, beautiful human expression, and great art. Then also, a man who obtains literally everything the world holds out as goals for a rich and fulfilling life does not necessarily find the life we truly need and desperately seek. Eric Clapton, great wealth, musical artistry praised and enjoyed worldwide, the epic fame of a bona fide rock icon. Clapton is God. Temporary relationships with the world's most beautiful women. Like a modern-day King Solomon. Eric Clapton. Well-documented struggles with addictions of all kinds. One of his well-known songs is a song called, you know, Cocaine, expressing the allure and the damage done by addiction. A man whose beloved son lived with his mother and died while he was away. A man whose father was unwilling to lay down his life in any way for the son he was quite willing to produce. A man whose song, My Father's Eyes, sings the blues of a life marked by the reality of a man who never knew his father and the tragedy that he would not have the opportunity to know his own son. Third, the imagery of a father's eyes is profound. My father's eyes, the look of approval and blessing and love the son never saw. My father's eyes, the same look he needed for his own son, but had no example to follow. My father's eyes, the look of love he saw as he looked down and before him to his young son, which pointed him up and behind him to the father he never knew. How did I get here? What have I done? When will all my hopes arrive? How will I know him? When I look in my father's eyes. Quote, the closest I ever came to looking into my father's eyes was when I looked into my son's eyes. We've been making our way through 1 John, and we've been saying along the way that the life that everyone is seeking, truly seeking, is the life that is found only and always and eternally in Jesus Christ. Some of us know that. We're blessed to know that. Many people do not. And so they continue to look in all kinds of other ways, in all kinds of other places. The life of Christ, God the Son, whose eternal love relationship with God the Father is offered to us and made possible through his sacrificial death on the cross. This life is found in fellowship with God as children of God. And this parent-child relationship is more than just words or names that we use. It is a reality. We are children of God. And this means we are going to have some family resemblance. Last week, we talked about the fact that we are, as children of God, going to grow up into righteousness. Sin will be left behind. It's going to happen. I tried to make a case for sooner is better than later. But as children of God, it is going to happen. We are growing up into righteousness, right behavior, right relationships with everybody and everything. And this week, we're going to affirm this, that we will, as children of God, have the look of love that is seen in the eyes of God the Father. Let's read our text for today. It's 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 24. Hear the word of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brother's were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This then is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence, whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. This is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. Love. Boy, that's a word people use a lot. And it means so many different things, doesn't it? Love, essentially, I think, is what God looks like when we truly see him. Love is the reason that we're here. The reason for creation. God has no need. God didn't need to make a universe so he could entertain himself watching it spin around. God completed himself, created out of the overflow of who he is, out of his abundance, out of his desire to share himself for the sake of others. And that you could call love. Love is the reason we're here. Love is the reason we know love in our own experience. It's a shadow of God's character and purpose. It's why we give ourselves to one another. It's why we sacrifice for others' benefit. It's why we sing the blues when love is absent. It's the reason Jesus the Son came to us with healing and salvation. When we truly see God, we see love. But love is more than that. Love is also how God looks at His creation and at us. What God sees in us and around us, He sees with the eyes of love. Now, love is not fantasy or falsehood. Love and truth go together. Eyes of love see things as they truly are. Love doesn't mean pretending that what you see isn't real. Love means seeing people's needs with a passion to help rather than a desire to ignore or exploit. God saw people alienated from Him and so separated from life, and He came to us to rescue us and to make us His children through faith in Jesus Christ, God the Son. God's children have their Father's eyes. People who look at Jesus' followers, people like us, are to be able to see something of God in us. The look of love people see as they look down and before them to people they know, like us, should point them up and behind us to the Heavenly Father they do not yet see. People should be asking, "Hey, why do you guys look a little different from other people? Why do you love like that?" And eventually they should be able to conclude, "You folks have the look of God about you. You've got your Father's eyes." And if they aren't able to do this, we're hiding our light under a bushel. We're putting too much of the world's mascara over our eyes. But more than this, like our Heavenly Father, we are to look out at the world around us with the eyes of love. And when we do that, we will find ourselves moving out in actions motivated by love. Here are a few things that John teaches us about love and the eyes of love we share with our Heavenly Father. First, Jesus Christ shows us what love is. This is how we know what love is, verse 16. Jesus Christ laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. It's really not that complicated, but it is oh so difficult. Love is not the sissified movie version romantic sentiment produced by beautiful circumstances and powerful hormones. Love is about laying down lives, giving up me for the sake of you. My comfort, my desires, my belongings, and if necessary, even my very life given for you. For you, God. For you, brothers and sisters. For you, friend. For you, neighbor in need. Jesus told His followers that this is how we actually find the life we are truly seeking. Laying down lives for Him. People who do this have a strange look in this world of natural self-centeredness. It's the look of love. It's family resemblance for God's children. Second, love acts. Verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. It's not enough simply to think good thoughts, to visualize world peace, or to offer prayers of intercession. Love will express itself in real life actions. You know, the needs of others can be seen in different ways. Through the eyes of fear, others' needs threaten me and what I have. If I give, I will have less. I must pretend I don't see. Try to ignore people's needs or call them lazy or undeserving so I don't have to help. But through the eyes of love, others' needs provide me with opportunities to express the love of God He has given to me and planted in me. God acted in love for us. We must act in love for others. My favorite acting in love story happened while we were living in Edinburgh, Scotland. We rode buses all over the place when we lived in Scotland. And one night, we decided we were going to go down to downtown Edinburgh, the only place you could find a McDonald's anywhere in Scotland. You had to pay a nickel for every little container of ketchup, which we thought was ridiculous, but and their beef tasted a little bit different, but hopefully didn't have mad cow disease in it. But we went to McDonald's, and we're coming back at night. Night there starts about 3 in the afternoon, by the way. And we're riding back on the bus, and it comes to the stop where we're supposed to get off. And we rode up on the top level of the double-decker bus, because, of course, we like to see things, you know, being from another country, and it's kind of fun riding on the top of a double-decker bus. And it's time for our stop, and we got a little bit of a late start, and we're hustling the kids to get ready and go, and Danelle has a little baby Maggie in her arms, and she goes down first, and we're getting the kids off, and we step off the bus, and kids are around us, and we step away from the bus, and the bus starts to leave, and we suddenly realize that Brian is not with us. 7 years old? About 7 years old. And we look back, and there he is just coming down the stairs from the top, coming up to the window of the doors that open, and the look of, help! Now, being a father, immediately my mind raced into gear. Where's the next stop? Let's see, I think I saw a lost and found downtown somewhere that we might be able to go back and claim our son. And I'm starting to think what we might do to catch up to him. Danelle didn't think like that. She literally threw herself against the bus. I mean, bam! This bus is moving. Bam! My child is on there. I am getting him off. Or I'm going to die trying. Bus driver probably heard the thud, stopped the bus, opened the doors, Brian got off. Friends, that is acting in love. This cannot happen. I will throw myself against it because I love my son. See, when we needed God to act for us, he didn't say, no, let me think. What? How could I restructure things? No, no. He threw himself into the world in Jesus Christ to save. Actions of love, don't miss this in our passage for today. Actions of love bring assurance of salvation. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Verse 18, dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This, then, is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence whenever our hearts condemn us. The love in us we share speaks of something else in us, faith in Jesus Christ who saves. Love is the remedy for God's holy wrath against sin. When we think of God's absolute holiness and our ongoing struggles with sin and selfishness, we ought to feel uncomfortable. That's when it is good to remember love. God's love for us. He knows everything, and He still died for us. So we could belong to Him. Look and see our Father's eyes of love. His love in us, expressed by us in real actions, telling us that we do, in fact, belong to Him. Family resemblance. We've got our Father's eyes. Faith in Jesus Christ and looking and moving out in active love are inseparable characteristics of God's children and expressions of our family resemblance. Those who don't do love don't know God. Doing a few nice things for others isn't going to save us, but if we are saved, if we know the God of truth, if we are in fact God's children, we are going to see things through the eyes of love. And this will move us to act for the sake of others. The closest some people are going to come to looking into their Heavenly Father's eyes is when they look into His sons and daughters' eyes. Let's close our time by enjoying another music video, this one by a Christian artist named Amy Grant. Same title, My Father's Eyes.
I may not be every mother's dream for her little girl, and my face may not grace the mind of everyone in the world, but that's all right. As long as I can have one wish, I pray. When people look inside my life, I want to hear them say, she has her father's eyes, her father's eyes, eyes that find the good in things when good is not around, and eyes that find the source of help when help just can't be found, and eyes for love, compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same, just like my father's eyes, my father. Tell just what they saw in you and me. One more than anything I know, I want their words to be, we had our father's eyes, our father's eyes. You know, eyes that found the good in things when good was not around, and eyes that found the source of help when help would not be found, and eyes full of compassion, seeing every pain, knowing what you're going through and feeling it the same. Our father's eyes, you know, it's just like our father's eyes, our father's.